Debt ceiling talks have broken down in Washington, and the sticking point? Taxes.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. House Speaker John Boehner said this morning a tax increase will not pass the U.S. House. That's after Majority Leader Eric Cantor pulled out of budget talks with the White House today. So that leaves, of course, the debt ceiling question up in the air. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer is with us live from Washington with the latest. Good morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Steve.
What happened? Why did Cantor walk out?
Well, he says the negotiators led by Vice President Joe Biden had been able to finesse the tax question until now. Cantor says they're getting down to the nitty-gritty, and Republicans are rejecting any suggestion that taxes should be raised. Here's House Speaker John Boehner speaking just a few minutes ago.
Tax hikes are off the table. And if you raise taxes on the people that we need to grow our economy and to hire new workers, guess what? They're not going to do it if they have to pay higher taxes to the federal government.
Now, Steve, Democrats say it's not fair for them to be asked to accept deep cuts in programs for the poor without increasing taxes on wealthy Americans. And they also want to eliminate some tax breaks for corporations, including oil companies and hedge funds.
This isn't a big surprise, Nancy. We knew this wasn't going to be easy. But how big of a stalemate is this?
Steve, Cantor says it's very big. More talks are scheduled for this afternoon. Cantor, of course, won't be there. He says it's time for President Obama to step in and take over. Now, everybody expected that would happen, just not this soon. Congressional Democrats are meeting with the president at the White House today. They're going to be talking about their next step.
All right. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer covering that story for us. Thanks, Nancy.
You're welcome.
We're also hearing today about a government investigation of Google. The Wall Street Journal reports the Federal Trade Commission is looking into whether the search engine, the search giant, had a monopoly on the web. Let's do the numbers. Stocks are down right now, more than 1.5% for the Dow, down 190 points right now at 11,919. The International Energy Agency says it's releasing 60 million barrels of oil from its strategic reserves, about 2 million a day for the next month, half of it from the U.S., and oil prices have dropped to $91 a barrel with that news. Number of people signing up for new jobless benefits was up by 9,000 last week. There hasn't been a Planters brand of peanut butter in this country for decades, but Mr. Peanut's parent, Kraft, has decided to get back into the peanut butter market. It's kicking off a commercial on Facebook today. The latest big sticky scoop from Marketplace's Bob Moon.
Smucker's has Jif, Unilever has Skippy, Conagra has Peter Pan. Kraft hasn't sold peanut butter in the U.S., even though it acquired the Planters brand a decade ago. Now the company hopes to carve out a niche by deviating from what's been an almost universal pitch for peanut butter over the years.
Choosy moms choose Jif.
Mama loves me, and I got a hunch that she'll always put Skippy
in my lunch.
Over two-thirds of peanut butter volume is consumed by adults and not kids.
Trina Schmelter is Senior Director of Marketing for Kraft. She points out targeting the adult market is a natural outgrowth of Kraft's health-oriented focus with the Planters brand.
We have seen the usage of peanut butter growing among adults, I think with the realization that it's a very tasty way to get great nutrition.
Don't expect the new ad campaign to be all serious, though. Planters has had fun lately with a rival to its own Mr. Peanut named Alejandro Almond.
Did someone call Alejandro?
Oh, he's so bold. Well, you know what they say about almonds.
Olé.
Today, a new character joins the mix. Get ready for, no kidding, Peanut Butter Doug. I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Novo Nordisk, for nearly 90 years committed to innovation in diabetes care. Learn more at novonordisk-us.com. And by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance. Trained agents committed to small business success. On the web at Farmers.com.
The Cleveland Cavaliers get first pick tonight in the NBA draft. The Cavs have struggled on the court and in the stands since LeBron James split from Miami. But with the top name coming, some see the team's financial fortunes getting better. From Station WCPN, Eric Wellman reports.
Last July, when LeBron James uttered those now infamous words.
In this fall, I'm going to take my talents to South Beach.
He not only took his talents to South Beach, he also took a quarter of the team's value, more than $80 million, according to Forbes magazine. The Cavs dispute that figure, but it's clear that not all is well in Cavs land. In 1 year, the team went from having the best record in the league to one of the worst. And toward the end of this season, there were a lot of empty seats in the arena. The Cavs declined to talk specifics, but they insist there has been no steep drop-off in ticket sales for the upcoming season. Still, it was not hard to find a disgruntled season ticket holder.
There were a lot of games you just went to and you thought this was ridiculous.
Attorney Irv Berliner has had season tickets since the 1970s, but he's decided to drop two of his four seats, saving $12,000. He says clients just aren't interested in going to games anymore.
While in the LeBron years, I could call somebody and say, we're playing the worst team in the world, and it's at 3 a.m. and it's a snowstorm, and people would go, that's okay, I'll come. Now I could say, we're going to play the Celtics, and it's 7 o'clock on a Wednesday, and they'd go, I'm kind of busy.
If fans aren't going to the games, they're also not buying as much team merchandise. Nate Cannell is the regional manager of the sporting goods chain Cardboard Heroes.
As expected, things weren't exactly up to par with the previous seven seasons.
But there are signs that things might be turning around for the Cavs. In the month since they locked up two of the top five draft picks, they sold more than $2 million in tickets. Tad Carper is Senior Vice President of Communications for the Cavs.
The team still ranks in the top tier of the league across numerous business platforms.
So far, the Cavs have been hush-hush about who they plan to pick in the first round of tonight's draft. Irv Berliner, the season ticket holder, says he wants to see improvement before he gives the team any more money. In Cleveland, I'm Eric Wellman for Marketplace.
From Cavs to Mavs, Ross Perot Jr. owns a 5% share of the Dallas Mavericks, but last year sued majority owner Mark Cuban, saying the team management is so bad it should be put into receivership. Well, Cuban's attorneys yesterday responded with a court filing of its own. In it, a big picture of power forward Dirk Nowitzki hoisting that NBA championship trophy they won just a couple of weeks ago. I'm Steve Chiotakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
Say you want to start a business in Dubai. You've got two options. You can partner with a local who will control 51%, or put yourself in a free zone where,
if you're going to be making $1 million, you're not going to be taxed on $1 million.
Easy choice, right? I'm Kai Rizdal, bridging the gap between one country's two economies. The story next time on Marketplace. Today's business news as well. It's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.